Thursday is the day we read from your emails, and not surprisingly, we've received lots of letters about Monday's mass shooting at Virginia Tech and about our coverage.
Many of you echoed this praise for Robert's essay about the ethnic identity of the killer. This note is from Carrie Buchholz of Berkeley, California. I would just like to express my appreciation for the commentary about the use of South Korean in describing the shooter at Virginia Tech. I had those exact thoughts myself. A person who grew up in the U.S., went to school in the U.S., and is a product of our culture, gun laws, and healthcare system is an American, not, as the headlines imply, a foreigner. I think using Korean to suggest the shooter was an outsider, a non-American, is wrong and will give some people the idea that this didn't have anything to do with our American culture.
On yesterday's program, we first broadcast the voice of the killer, Sung-hui Cho. On the day of the murders, he had recorded a video and mailed it to NBC News. Some of you objected to our decision to air portions of that tape.
Quincy Scott of San Antonio, Texas writes, "All you have done here is given media coverage to an egomaniacal mass murderer. Twisted young men who wish to follow in his footsteps will surely be glad to know that they, too, will arrest the world's attention with their taped tirades."
Our Virginia Tech coverage brought back a similar trauma for Douglas Martin of Evans, Georgia. He writes, "A little over 40 years ago, I was one of the students on the University of Texas campus when Charles Whitman went on his rampage."
Charles Whitman hid in a tower on campus and shot at the people below, killing 16 of them.
Martin continues, "I was surprised at the depth of the emotions and the vividness of the images that came back to me while listening to your coverage of the Blacksburg tragedy. I had thought that these things were behind me just because I don't think about them every day anymore. Based on my experience, I'm deeply concerned about the long-term effects that will haunt the survivors. My heart is with them at this time."
Finally, a couple of letters on other topics. Many of you wrote about our profile of a man suffering from Alzheimer's and his wife, Tom and Joyce DiBaggio.
"One thing about it, the anger has gone. It's more wonder. But even I don't know how much he remembers about what he could do."
"Yeah, I can't remember. I've lost a lot of things."
Barb Cherum of Ann Arbor, Michigan, heard the story. She writes, "What brave people to document the loss of oneself. My dad had Alzheimer's, and the essence preserved in personality is so amazing, despite the sorrow of the long goodbye. I so appreciated the touching relationship that the DiBaggios have allowed us to share. What courage."
And a final note about our story recalling Cinerama, the huge screen film format that has nearly died out. Meg Fortino wrote from Powder Springs, Georgia, "When I was a little girl, my dad took me to see How the West Was Won in Cinerama. I unfortunately do not recall the Buffalo Stampede scene. Perhaps this is because during a brief scene in which some actor looked under the moving stagecoach, I became sick." Well, we'll spare you the details of how sick she became. Suffice it to say, Fortino did not stay for the rest of the movie.
You can send us your stories, criticisms, and praise by going to our website, npr.org, and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.